Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to Mission Accepted. Thank you so much. I have to tell you guys, I know that other podcast hosts probably say this and TV hosts, but you are absolutely by far the best audience ever because you are so interactive and you forward the shows and you send comments and you tell me who you want to hear from. And you are going to be so grateful and so excited about who our guest is today. So I just want to thank you for being here. I know some of you are listening. Some of you are watching. So we'll watch our P's and Q's. No, I am very excited today because look at our whole show. If this is the first time you've been here and you just kind of serendipitously or the universe planted you to listen to us today, here's the deal. Mission accepted means we took the mission. Now, if you're an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur or a creative or you're in media and you have self-started yourself somewhere, at some point you said yes. It might have been a top of the mountain. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to start this project. Or it was a tiny little voice that said, I can't stand doing what I am doing now. And I'm going to, no matter how scared I am, go take this on. Here's the truth. When you take on the mission, it changes form and you literally continue to take that mission on because it will grow and expand. And we have an entrepreneur with us today. This is Diana Wentworth. This woman has done many things. And when she does them with grace. She is a New York bestseller. And I love the story she's more than likely going to share with us because I'm going to ask her to. You are very familiar with Chicken Soup for the Soul. This woman has an intimate relationship with the beginning of that. If you know who Louise Hay is, and I'm sure you do, Diana also has an interesting story about something that she had created. Really, for me, it sounds like the very first mastermind, networking group, circle of masters that ever was. And with her 6 years of experience, I'm sure she was at the very forefront of this. I could go on and on, but why? Because she's here. I'll talk nicely behind her back when she's not with us. Let's get this lady's voice on the show. So Diana, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here with you. I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So the show is really interesting because we actually have a weekly show for the Gen Zs and, you know, those 9 to 24-year-olds that are starting businesses now, right? And then you have an incredible program that I know that you are celebrating the creativity and the peak that happens in that boomer generation. So maybe tell us a little bit about yourself. And because I believe truly, as someone who has an 18-year-old who's launching their first company, who's very close to the age of your criteria for this group that you're talking about, I see the benefit of all generations, probably more so than I ever have, coming together in the world of business, because you have these amazing Gen Zs, these 18s, 19s, 50s, 20-year-olds coming in, and I'm watching my fellow colleagues going, I can't keep up with them. I can't handle this social media. I don't know what is what. What is a hashtag? And this, the assumption is that this generation is coming in and they have something on us. But honestly, you've been around long enough to know. I have my son at a speech coach, so he can actually, you know, introduce himself. And the idea of a handshake and all the things that happen, I really have never seen a time ever where the generations can benefit each other. So I always say, hang in there. You know, you've got skills that the other generation doesn't have. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I thought maybe it'd be great to start off having a conversation a little bit about that.
About the difference between the generations? Or
yes, and entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship is something that I was just born with. My father actually was an amazing entrepreneur. He only went through the 8th grade. And he ended up founding the Beverly Hills Federal Savings and Loan. And became extremely successful. But I don't know, I just, I just always wanted to express my heart and my soul. And it was really hard for me to be in school and have to study all the things they, the chemistry and the geography and everything, because I just wanted to do my own thing and follow my own thread of interest, you know? But what really sparked me, I always thought I wanted a bunch of children and everything. And then I had one. I was 27 years old and it was, oh my God, what is this? This has changed my life completely. I had postpartum depression. I didn't have any mother nurturing skills, I discovered quickly. And she was wonderful. But within 3 months, I started teaching cooking in my kitchen at home. And the word spread quickly. And I had all these amazing famous people lined up on a waiting list to come to my cooking classes, because I'd always loved cooking. I had a grandmother who ran a boarding house and who cooked beautifully. And I don't know, there was just something about gathering people around the table that made my heart sing. And oh my gosh, these things took off like a rocket. And I had a wonderful husband, my amazing first husband, who I met in a lobby in Hong Kong, very serendipitously. He joined me in that career. So we ended up having the most amazing career. Our first book won Cookbook of the Year in the category of entertaining. I was featured in House and Garden, Martha Stewart on one side, me on the other, as cooking experts East and West. Our careers kind of basically started at the same time. And we went on to write 6 cookbooks. We had a TV show on Lifetime Network. We had a cooking school on Sunset Boulevard where Wolfgang Puck would teach. And you know, we just went to the heights with that. But then as all trends end up, they change. You know, women didn't want to cook anymore. It was 1985 and they wanted to go into their workplace. And the super chefs, you know, the competitive super chefs showed up. And that wasn't what we loved. We loved gathering people around the table. And fortunately, we joined this outrageous seminar that was an offshoot of EST. And you had to make up the most crazy goals. And that's where I met Jack Canfield and Barbara DeAngelis and people who I went on to cultivate for everything that they could contribute. And we ended up going into the Soviet Union and everything. And I suddenly noticed that people gathering around the table was really beneficial because they started sharing resources. They started sharing their dreams and what they wanted to create in the world. So we changed our whole focus and we came back and we started the Inside Edge, which just completed its 36th year. And I was sitting between Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen one morning when Jack announced he was doing a book that had all these stories, you know, of famous speakers. And he sat down, he didn't have the title yet. And Mark leaned across me and said, I'm gonna do that book with you. And Jack said, you are? Why would I do this book with you when I've got it 80% finished? And he says, because I'm a great marketer. And that was the beginning of Chicken Soup for the Soul, believe it or not. Wow. And the most magical thing that ever happened, really. After the two books became number one and number two on the New York Times bestseller list, I got a phone call one morning from both of them. They were nearby with their publisher and they said, Diana, everybody thinks Chicken Soup for the Soul is a cookbook. So you're going to write a cookbook. And they didn't tell me. They didn't tell me they had an order already for 900,000 copies from QVC. But anyway, long story short, I got to do the cookbook and they gave me a third of the book. So they gave me 3 months to finish the book because it had to be there at a certain time. And my first royalty check was $240,000. So,
wow. Wow.
So being that entrepreneur paid off really well. But anyway, you know, I've always loved what happens when people start sharing their dreams. And I would give futuristic parties where you had to show up as who you're going to be in 5 years. And you had to stay in character and you had to tell us how you got to whatever peak you had achieved. And I remember Dr. Susan Jeffers showed up in a limousine and she said she had just returned from her third New York Times bestseller tour. And she had 3 mock books that she was showing us. And she did it. She's, She hit number one on the bestseller list with Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, and then wrote two more in those 5 years. And so Jack Canfield, just recently at the anniversary gala, said that he not only was with the Chicken Soup for the Soul series not exist without the Inside Edge, but that he's used that 5 year in advance party as every closing for every training he's ever done since. So wow. It's been a lot of fun. It's really been a lot of fun to spark that much excitement and juice and creativity.
So there's a lot, I mean, a lot of the people that are following on our show are, you know, entrepreneurs, and they're at all stages of that entrepreneurship. And from someone who's seen and observed people go through it, we talk about, you know, it's up and it can be down and it can be exciting and it can be that moment. And some people are like, is it timing? Like, how long do I hang in there? For the person that has been aspiring to achieve those goals, and for them, it feels like it's not happening soon enough. Do you have any, you know, do you have any insight for them?
Well, one thing that's always been so vitally important to me is inner listening, you know, and living in a question. I think the questions, I even bought the domain quintessential questions, because I think the better you verbalize the question of what it is you want, the more it shows up in a more powerful way. And I also very much believe in asking out loud. If you read the medical medium, if in his appendix, he talks about angels cannot act without our invitation, and asking out loud is even more powerful. And since my husband passed away this past year, I'm now alone and I can ask really loudly. I mean, I can, you know, you get to a place where you're just, you're fed up, or it's a dark night of the soul and you're really intense about it. I think there's some kind of spiritual alchemy that comes from asking, you know, I need a miracle right now. And just being vehement about it. There's a fierceness, I think, that is really, it's an alchemical thing. And that magic happens from that. So I just basically expect magic all the time. That's one name for one of my next books. And I really do ask all the time for insights, for what is my highest path, for what I can do, what is really my greatest gift to the world, and how can I best express it? And I constantly listen and ask and listen and ask.
Okay, very good. I mean, and we all have those, right? And it, I guess there's a lot of times that you'll hear them and you'll be like, yeah, but, you know, yeah, but, and it's like you hear it or you know it, or you're having a conversation with yourself, yet your next 3 week schedule doesn't allow that, that piece of information. You're like, well, that sounds really good, but, you know, it's difficult. It takes a lot of bravery. I think it takes a lot of bravery to listen to the inside, because there's no one there but you. I think that it's a skill that you've.
I think the guidance comes to us. What was magical about my two careers was the cooking and entertaining Julia Child, all of that was just coming up. So it was almost like a wave that was rising. And we rode that wave all the way to the end of that timing when women were entertaining at home.
Right.
Then Power Breakfast were just starting in New York when the idea for the Inside Edge came. And that was the beginning of networking. So here we were, and we had the hours. We met from 6:30 to 8:30 in the morning. It was crazy time. And nobody ever turned me down. I mean, we had Ram Dass. I mean, we had everybody. John Gray was just getting started. I mean, it was the most vibrant place to be, but it was just the beginning of networking. And so I think that we rode two waves that were just beginning to rise. And I think asking the questions gave me a sensitivity to what would follow through. Okay. It's kind of hard to explain, but I kind of live in this space of curiosity and excitement and just expecting to get the insights that I need, you know?
Yes. Was there anything that you did that you felt, a lot of times in the world of being an entrepreneur, you feel like you have to jump off the cliff. You have fear, but you do it anyways. All of that. Where do you, outside of what you were just sharing there, there must have been times where you had things that maybe didn't go the right way, or what do you do? What do you do in that time? What do you do in that time? If you obviously pivoted, but do you reach out to your circle? Are you a journaler? Like, how does one get through?
Oh gosh. Well, journaling is magic for me.
Okay.
I started journaling very young, and I think that's the way we really get to explore who we are deeply and what meaning there is in our lives that we can explore and mine the meaning of your life. You know, I think journaling and asking those questions there, I took these journal classes where you would create a dialogue with wisdom figures and people that you admired, living or dead. And you could just kind of make an outline of their life. So you're kind of contextualizing them right there, and then begin listening to what they would say. And it's, you know, I really feel that there's something, I don't know, spiritual, alchemical, divine, yeah, that begins to happen, that we sense the essence of that person and their qualities and their values, and they can advise us.
That's incredible. That reminds me of one of the chapters in Napoleon Hill's book about you can tap into the energy of someone who's here or not here. You can bring them into your mastermind. You know, if you have a respect for what someone has done, and you think that they could advise you well, just focusing on bringing that person in and then obviously getting very quiet. I'm a journaler as well, and I find that it helps me spiral down. And I always thought, you know, it's kind of like, I remember, oh my gosh, Deepak Chopra's first answer to most questions that Wayne Dyer used to call him in a panic. And Wayne Dyer would say, he'd always tell me, go meditate, call me back. You know, so it's like, that's kind of what journaling is. Whenever I think, oh, I need the answer, I need to call one of my colleagues, I'm like, just write a couple of pages and you'll probably find at least a center. That's where also I hear things through writing. But, and what about being at the right place at the right time when you share? I mean, talk about divine. I mean, who were you sitting around? Was that something that just happened and the universe and God was like, you know what, I'm going to sit you between Jack and Mark and you're going to have lunch? Or was that something that was more dedicated and focused and you were like, these are the people that I want to be associated with, even though they hadn't had their success to the degree that they've had it yet? What about being at the right place at the right time or that right person?
I have a story to tell you that is pretty amazing.
Awesome.
I was 18 years old. I just turned 18 and I was in my sorority at UCLA. And I said, hey, can you turn the music down? And somebody said, oh, Diana doesn't like Elvis Presley. And I said, well, actually, and then this came to me. I mean, there's like this download. I said, actually, I do like him and I'm going to date him someday. And everybody looked at me like, is she nuts? You know, I was thinking to myself, is she nuts? 2 months later, I go to Europe with my mother. We started a tour at the Hotel Prince de Gaulle in Paris. And this kid from the tour came running up to me and said, Diana, Elvis Presley's in the dining room and I'm too scared to ask him for his autograph. I said, oh, well, come with me. And I went in and he was standing there in his army uniform. He was stationed in Germany and it was his first trip into Paris. And he was with two bodyguards and I just went waltzing right up to him and introduced myself and got the autograph from my friend. And he asked me, you know, what I was doing there. And we talked for a little bit. That night we went to the Moulin Rouge on our tour and he happened to be there as well. And his bodyguard saw me in the lobby and asked, you know, what we were doing afterwards. And I said, we were going back to the hotel. So we got back to the hotel. There's Elvis sitting there in his army uniform with his bodyguards. Goes up to my mother and asks if he can speak with her. And he asked if he could take me to the Lido that night, to the nightclub. And I guess he just needed a girl on his arm, you know? I mean, it wasn't like this mad romance or anything, but I just had the most wonderful time going to the Lido with him. And we ended up being friends. I have letters from him. I actually went out with him 4 times, but how did I know that? You see, that had a huge impact on me because I think there's so many ways to access our inner knowing. And if we pay attention to it and we validate it when it happens, if we say, thank you, then things come, because I was almost engaged to a very, very wealthy man when I was about 21. I had a sudden knowing to break it off with him. And I went with my parents at the last minute to on a tour of Asia. And the last stop was Hong Kong. I got up very early, got dressed, all dressed up, went and stood in the lobby at 6:30 in the morning and thinking, what the heck am I doing here? The restaurant wasn't even open or anything. And the elevator door opened and out walked Paul von Willenetz, and we were engaged in 3 days and married for 25 years. So being in the right place at the right time is what I'm all about. And it happens constantly. I mean, it still happens today. I'm so magically impressed with how every single day, honest to God, there is some kind of a fabulous offer that shows up on my plate at the age of 81, and I'm living this magical life.
Somehow I'm asking all the right questions to hear all these amazing stories. Okay. You are doing something pretty spectacular in Costa Rica that I would love people to hear about, because you clearly have a heart. Like when I hear you talk about Louise Hay and Jack and Mark and people writing books and getting stories.
Right.
Share with us what your belief is around people's stories.
I just so love stories that people memorialize the most important pieces of their life. And then they can put them together like a quilt almost in order to leave some kind of a sign. I mean, if you think about it, there was a wonderful young girl who received a diary for Christmas, and she then took it into hiding in Nazi Germany. And she talked, she named her diary, and she wrote story, all of her thoughts and everything. One of the bestsellers of all time, maybe the first international bestseller of all time, was The Diary of Anne Frank. Mm-hmm. And I just think about people's stories as being that valuable, really, because we each have such a different take. And when it came time to write the stories for the Chicken Soup for the Soul cookbook, I had already accumulated 16, because I just started writing stories. I kept saying to my husband, I don't know where these are going. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. And they all fit into that book. And I had a 3-month deadline, so it was great. But I've been teaching story writing now for many years on Zoom, especially during COVID.
Yes.
Soul stories, especially. I love, you know, people really accessing the meaning of their life and being able to tell it. So we're doing an amazing event in September this year, the 25th to the 30th. It's called Soul Stories. It's at the Imaloa Institute. It's on 23 acres in Costa Rica, vegan food, sacred grounds. It's just an amazing place. And it's only 30 people. We have all 23 acres to ourselves. And so I will give you a link. I hope people will come. And I'm happy to meet with somebody once they sign up for an hour before. So they'll show up and they'll already know me and feel super comfortable.
And this is for people to get in touch with their soul story in terms of who they are or what they do or their life or legacy. Is that kind of the philosophy?
Yes.
Around it to access that?
Yeah, I'm co-hosting it with a woman named Michelle Gabriel, who I met in the Soviet Union. She is one of the world's leading storytellers. She was hired by Boeing to help all the leaders at Boeing be able to present stories and influence people that way. And she doesn't focus on the writing like I do. That's the way I think. I write, I think. But she gets you to tell your story in a way that's so from your essence. So it's just a way of people really getting to know each other, also sharing their life in a way that can be really powerful in their careers. You know, the way we can express our stories really lets people know us much more deeply, you know, so
wow.
I'm passionate about it.
That would be so powerful. That would be so incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, for some people, just getting to accept their stories, know their stories, I believe, or counter the, is my story worth it? You must cross that, where people are like, well, you know, Like they'll brush by their existence up to date. Well, you know, I did this or I did that, or I survived this, or, you know, yeah, it wasn't so great. Or, and then they bring themselves up to date very quickly when they're sharing. So to be able to,
It's so important. People are shamed early about talking about themselves, you know, aren't they? And I think that when one just begins to, I always put my hand on my heart when I want to be most intimate with people or speak from my soul. And just everybody relaxes when you do that. Everybody relaxes when you're coming from your essence. And I think it's the most valuable thing we can learn in life, really, is being able to share ourselves in a way that draws other people out. You know, then people begin sharing back with you. And then it's not just a surface conversation. It becomes something of depth and authenticity and real meaning and connection. I mean, that's what happened at The Inside Edge. Louise Hay only had a little tiny 30-page book when she joined The Inside Edge. And as you know, she created a publishing empire. It was unbelievable what happened. And that's because they were encouraged to share their deepest dreams, their most, their wildest expectations. And then the magic happened after that.
So just to clarify for people, so the Inside Edge was like a networking forum where people came and the goal was to really talk about the stuff on the inside as much as what they wanted to produce on the outside. Is that correct?
It was a 2-hour meeting. So we always had some amazing speaker. And we, for some reason, nobody ever said no to me. I mean, like David White, the poet, flew down from Washington. I mean, I wasn't paying travel expenses or anything, but we would have this focus on somebody who really was living their authenticity. And we would have table processes where people would talk about what was up for them, or we'd have wins and acknowledgements, or we'd have a mastery circle that would form around somebody who made a request and do that in the evening, where people would just brainstorm for each other. And the generosity and the creativity that manifested was so exciting to everybody.
And how long did that exist for?
36 years.
36 years.
We just did our 35th year gala. And Jack Canfield was there, and Sarah Brun-Bronick, the author of Simple Abundance. And I mean, we've just had so many people that got their start at the Inside Edge and felt uplifted and encouraged. And it was amazing. I'm so excited that I got to do that, you know, and I dreamed it up in my journal. You know, what can I do? What uses all my hosting gifts if I'm not cooking?
Right.
I don't have to cook in order to have people around, you know.
That's the ultimate description of transforming your skills. You know, when they're like, well, just take your skills from one thing because the company closed down or the mill closed down. So what did you do there? What were the essence of the skills? And then transport them into something else.
And which skills are you most passionate about? You know,
right.
I just like watching people connect. There's just something, there's like a spark that happens. And
I understand.
Out of that, everything gets so creative.
Right. Okay. So the other thing that I wanted to ask you is with that desire of having people connect, and you talk about, we were just talking about all the different generations that are now aspiring. And the beautiful thing is that I think we put aside for many years now and highlight that you can recreate yourself at any stage, that there isn't something about, you know, you don't have to retire if you don't want to retire. You can retire early. Some people retire at 30 to 35. Some people retire later on. There's such a blend of philosophy, and it comes down to passion, which probably is one of the things that kind of keeps us going. I kind of have two questions in this. One is, someone who's watched people continue to move in the element of being an entrepreneur, what are some of the things that you see that keep them going, that keep them inspired?
Well, following our passion is essential.
Okay.
I think if we have just a desire to go out and make a lot of money and all of that, it keeps us from our soul purpose. You know, we have gifts when we're born. We each of us have many, many facets to our personalities and things that just light us up. I just wrote for a magazine I'm being featured in Australia, an activity that is really, really good for that. And that is just take a page and write down the left-hand side of the page, the people that you most admire in the world that really spark, you know, when you hear their name or you see them in a movie or hear about them in any way, it just lights you up. And then look at each name and write down the qualities that each of those people exude or represent. And by doing that, it becomes very valuable because what's happening is you are identifying your own core values. And that's who you are. So I say, do that, look at that list, express those things. That's what you're here to do. You were born. Those are your God-given gifts, and express those things. And then I think your success ratio is going to be pretty amazing.
Wow. Now, moving right into, you are creating something or have created something that is invite only.
Right.
For, I would say, those that have wisdom, would you like to share?
Yes, I'm really thrilled about this. My partner, Robin Mullen, and I are bought the domain wisdomcircles.com. And we are creating all sorts of wisdom circles. And we can do it on Zoom now. That was the great gift of COVID, wasn't it? That we can meet, we have women all over the world. And what we're doing is called Encore Wisdom Circle, is one we're doing right now. And we thought of the most interesting women of mastery who were pretty much done with their careers in general, but reached out to them. Did they want to create an encore? This word came to me very magically. And I love the word encore because it implies that you've already done a great job doing whatever you were doing, but that the world wants more of you and you have something spectacular to create still. And it's just been so much fun to watch these women have breakthroughs because many of them are greatly accomplished authors and executives and all of that, but they're getting really imaginative about what they can still do, what is still possible, and thinking, you know, of legacy and all of that and how they want to be remembered and creating that and encouraging each other. So that I love so much. I just light up when I think about hosting this and working with these women. They're amazing.
It's so powerful. I mean, it just really, it brings around one word for to me, and that's abundant. And in the terms of that, it's just always, it's always full. Like there's always more, there's always, and it's just such a positive flow. I love that. Never mind that I love, when I go to Las Vegas, and I know that you're going to Vegas on a tour, you'll have to share with us what you're doing on your tour. But I've always been a fan of the Wynn Hotel and Encore. And when they came on to Encore, so I don't know, honestly, I'll tell you, one of my secret places in the world, and you get this because of vortex and energy, it's very strange, but there's three pools at the Wynn Hotel. Mm-hmm. And at the adult pool, there is about three rows. There's a second section, there's three rows, and it goes about 8 or 9 seats wide and maybe 4 or 5 seats. When I sit there, and I've been talking, I'm telling you, from the time that I made, when I redesigned my second company, and I've done that, I'm on my 7th company. So it's been a while. Every time I go there, it's like I put my papers and I download my next step in life, my next step in business. And it has been like the best business coach. So I, actually, now I'm thinking about it. Maybe, you know, now we can go. But it has just been this place, and it's the most bizarre thing to explain. Everyone's like, you know, what hotel? I'm like, I love the Wynn Hotel. There is something when I go there that feels so incredible for me. It reminds me of when you say Encore, because when they put the next hotel up, I'm like, it's like that, right?
When you say download, I really have to share with you something that is so incredibly amazing. After my husband passed, I had heard about this thing called Nucalm, N-U-C-A-L-M. And it was earphones that would take you into any mental state that you wanted, really. It was used by the military, all of the special forces for stress, and all of that. And I was always interested in it because I'd been a meditator for 50 years. And I thought, gosh, anything that could help me transcend really fast would be great, because then you don't have to quiet your mind, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, they came out with an app, and I started using this app, and I use it every day, no matter what. I get back in bed in the morning and listen to it for 30 or 50 or 70 minutes. And every little piece of creativity that's kind of floating around suddenly coalesces and all comes together. And I so loved it that I reached out to the company and was raving about it. And at first they were kind of thinking, I don't know, this is an old woman. What do I know? They were marketing it to, you know, like athletes, and Tony Robbins is part of it. He insists that everybody uses it for his trainings. But anyway, I recently became a representative for the company. And one of the things I'll be doing in Vegas is representing them and telling people how magical it is. But people can try it out as an app. You just download the app on your phone and you can use the code Diana15 and get 15% off, and just try it for a month. It is the most exciting thing, because there's a 20-minute power nap. There is this, what they call rescue. There's something called sleep that you can, it puts you to sleep. I mean, it's, you can just choose whatever mental state you want. And their motto is own your day. I've never been that crazy about anything in my life. This is the best thing I have ever discovered for, I wasn't even going to mention it, but I, when you said download, it's like, I almost have to have a paper and pencil right next to the bed, because I just get these great concepts that just all manifest.
Well, and it sounds like, I mean, as someone like yourself and myself included, who has meditated, and people will say to me, they'll, you know, I'll be teaching meditation, they're like, you know, I have a really hard time meditating. And I'm like, do you think about your grocery list when you meditate? They're like, yeah. I'm like, me too.
Right. So
like, it's normal, you know, sometimes, and you just say, thank you. I'll pick up the, you know, pick up the spinach later, whatever it is. And then you just go back to, you know, the normalcy. But it sounds like it's something that kind of just helps you get to where you need to go a little bit quicker.
Such divine music that you're listening to. And at the same time, it there's one that you can write to and you don't have on earphones, and it's called Reboot. And so whenever I'm writing, I listen to this, and it just takes you into alpha, you know, or you could be in theta or whatever it is that you're listening to. So
interesting. More cool. To explore. You know what? That's the kind of gemstones that people like to hear. It's like, so what is someone like yourself? I mean, that's why I was saying, let's talk today about this process of entrepreneurship, because it's not all up. Sometimes it's confusing. You know, there's that conversation with, is it worth it? And maybe I should have had that 9-to-5 job. And did I do this wrong? And I spent 5 years or 10 years. And I think in the newness of entrepreneurship, in the newness, it can be glorious. And even though the downs can hurt because it's the first time, I was sharing with a group of people that I was in a call with earlier that have, quote unquote, for lack of better words, made it enough to get onto that call. And I'm like, I'm not worried about the person who's in their 10th week or maybe even in their 10th month of their business. I'm more concerned about the person in their 10th year. Because it's those, the people don't realize that it takes sometimes as much to keep going as it did to get started. So, mm-hmm.
Yes. Good for you. That really putting the juice back in, you know, and the original impulse that took us into that direction, and
right.
Finding that passion again, that is a great gift that you can offer.
So I know that we're coming to our close of time, and I know that you are packing to go away. And so, Diana, is there any last words of wisdom that you would like to share with people that are on the entrepreneurial journey? Whether they're trying to break their first album, whether they're starting, you know, their podcast show themselves, or what have you. I mean, you've obviously been an icon. You've been surrounded by the right people. You've called it in, you know, you've asked for it, called it in, and even got demanding, right? You clearly have your mindset step in the right
place. Pushy.
Yeah, push it. And those are the things that obviously that you've done when things are kind of like, whoa, this is a funky morning. You know, this is a funky day. Yeah. So any last words you'd like to share with the audience? And then I have a special question for you, but anything you'd like to share? And then is there anything, please tell us after you do, how to get in touch with you? Where can people find out about Costa Rica? Where can they find out more about this app? Where can they find out more about what it is you're doing in these powerful circles?
Oh gosh, it just all comes down to, I don't say self-love, because we all hit dark nights of the soul. And I think that we try very hard to resist that feeling. We don't like that feeling. We want it to go away. We might go out and overeat or have a drink or something like that. But a key thing that I've learned is really that you need to catch that kind of feeling as fast as you can. And if it's grief or if it's something else like that, don't resist it. Just sit there and try to find that feeling in your body, locate it. It's a sensation somewhere in your body. And go into that and increase it. Make it as strong as you can. So that it's so intense. And Pema Chodron, you probably know who she is, a Buddhist nun, she says that that feeling cannot last more than 17 seconds. So, or 90 seconds. I guess it's the 90 second technique, but it dissipates then. You know, we're not stuffing it down. I find that really, really key to how I get through to the days.
That's powerful, because a lot of times we wake up and if we're not feeling right or something happens, we spend the rest of that day
right,
kind of moving it over to the side, or, okay, I can't go there, or trying right. to contain it. And then the energy that it takes you to get through the day
right.
and it's running its tape, you know, it's there, it's running mm-hmm. in the background and you're in your prefrontal cortex, just like, get me through the day, get me through right. dinner, get me through this, let me get the kids to bed. Let me just close my eyes tonight. So thank you for that.
Well, you know, it is that 17 second catching that thought, actually,
yes.
because then if you use the questions that we talked about, yes, how can I turn this into one of the best days of my life? How can I most spark joy in this world? And there's something that begins to gestate and it lifts you out of that. It's really key to catch it right away if you can, so that you don't spiral down.
Right. Awesome. And where can people get in touch with you?
Well, I'm reviewing my website right now, but it is okay. diana@dianawentworth.com. And on the homepage, there's a book that I wrote, one of my books I wrote and self-published for the American Heart Association. And it's called Love Your Heart, Follow the Red Thread to a Heart-Centered Life. And it is full of these little techniques, finding your values and all of that. And it's a download, it's free. So they can find it. And I do private coaching, and you're welcome to reach out to me and we can have an interview and see if I'm the right person. But I love to work with women, especially. I really enjoy that.
Awesome. Okay. So I know that you're getting ready to pack, and that's a perfect lead into this question that I have for you, Diana. And I'm going to let you have a whole album, not just one song, but you're on a way to a desert island because you need to go restore yourself. But this is the desert island, and you're packing your suitcase and you have room for one album and one album only. So what album could you not live without? What album could you not listen to again? So you get one album. What would
be
the album?
I'd have to probably have access to YouTube, because there's something I listen to almost every morning by Jan Phillips, who is one of my heroes. She's an incredible writer. She has on YouTube something called Think of Yourself by Jan Phillips. And it's a poem that she wrote. And my favorite line from it is, remember, you came here to light the world. And there's just something about the way she delivers this that it just, I don't know, lifts me into my highest self. And
that's a poem that she has?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So we're off by Jan Phillips. She has albums of music that she has written, and she's an amazing author, was an ex-nun thrown out of the monastery because she was much too wild, and just a fabulous human being. So I'd have to take that.
You'd have to take that. Very well. Very well. So thank you for sharing that with us. Diana, thank you so much for being with us today. And listeners and viewers, please continue to share these episodes. We thank you so much. And if you see yourself falling in the category of an entrepreneur or an ultrapreneur or creative, or you are in media and you would like to come share your story and your gems and have me ask around and poke around a few questions and share those nuggets with people, we would love to hear from you. As well as if you are a Gen Z or you are a parent of a Gen Z, we had a great show with me and my Gen Z son and another entrepreneur and her son. And if you are a Gen Z or you have one that's living in your house and you don't know what to do with, we'd love to hear from you. So have an incredible day. Thank you so much for being the best audience ever. And Diana, thank you again so much for your presence today. Until next week, bye for now.